said, Sunday nights from 7 to 11. We're live right now. Don't want anybody to call for a few minutes. In the interest of truth and integrity, I have to deal with something. I'm not sure, Ed, you'll be able to get this, but I think you can get close enough to see this picture. Not the woman. I don't want her. This one. How close can you get in? You got a handheld you can get closer with? Let's try this. Get the picture of the cross. How many of you remember seeing the inside second page of the California section Friday or Saturday of last week? Hold your hands up. Plenty did out there in Los Angeles. This is the LA Times, surroundings Hollywood, second page of the California section. Again, maybe you can read the headline of the article. This was taken off the internet. History and reverence illuminate a hilltop icon. Now, what disturbs me, preservation of the hilltop landmark next to Cahuenga Pass has sometimes been a heavy cross to bear. Not for us. Now, for us, we offered to do it many times. It's been ripped by fire, rattled by high winds, earthquakes, attacked by vandals and lawyers, and even by Nazis. Yes, before this cross was put up there, same cross re-illuminated. In spite of it all, the Hollywood cross stands today where it was first erected 81 years ago. It owes its existence to a series of owners and activists who for decades struggled to keep it patched up and propped up, and to a Van Nuys church congregation that has pledged to keep it. And I have nothing but praise for the Van Nuys church that's maintaining it. But in the interest of truth, my integrity has been... I don't think they did it deliberately, but it's typical of the poor research that the media dumps on us all the time. Along with the Hollywood Bowl, the 34-foot cross is one of the community's most familiar icons. It is even depicted along with the famed amphitheater in the Los Angeles County Seal. They go through the history of it. And it's a pretty good article about the tragic history of up to 1979 when the county pulled the plug on it. And then it was sold to a preservation group, Hollywood Heritage, but vandals sawed through its steel support and it crashed to the ground. Volunteers managed to build a temporary 70-foot version out of pieces of the destroyed cross before the 85 Easter sunrise service at the Bowl. Attempts to permanently restore the cross faltered, even though local church groups passed the hat and a Latvian refugee wrote the Ballad of the Hollywood Cross and built a cross out of balloons at one Hollywood Bowl sunrise service to draw attention to it. The cross was resurrected in 1993. A Simi Valley shortwave radio evangelism organization, High Adventure Ministries, and the East Hollywood Los Feliz Kiwanis Club spent about $110,000 to rebuild it. The cross's current owner is Church on the Way, 15,000-member Pentecostal congregation in Van Nuys, International Church of Four Square Gospel. It acquired the monument and about a quarter acre of land in 1997, reimbursing High Adventure Ministries for its expenses. The radio group used the money to build a broadcast station in the Middle East. Now, I have sat here since 1993 and said, along with the Jesus Saved signs, we get credit from God for making possible the erection of the Hollywood Cross. I ordained George Otis, who founded High Adventure Ministries. My dad and I ordained him. We've been friends for years. He came to me with this dream, not having enough money to get it erected, and we provided the money to High Adventure for the expenses that I have no doubt that Four Square Church reimbursed him for. The station in the Middle East, so-called, was already operating. We were on it. And I am offended, not because we didn't get credit. I'm offended that I've been made to look like a not fruitful person. My congregation knows that George Otis came to the cathedral and presented me a special award. And my congregation knows that we were there, having provided the money that was necessary to finish the job, considerable. Not all of it, but it wouldn't have been done if we hadn't provided. And I carefully have said, along with High Adventure and George Otis, we just did what we usually do. We write the check to the ministry and don't seek any particular credit from them. High Adventure Ministry is dissolved through the age and breakdown of a lot of things. And High Adventure Ministries, last I heard, is on the verge of ceasing to be, but they've sold many of their shortwave operations to a church in Kentucky. And we were also at that time on their shortwave stations, including a telephone hookup before we got two Russian satellites, a telephone hookup to their stations in Israel and Lebanon. And there's a special line still back here available where we would stay on the air with a telephone connection to the shortwave station in the Middle East. Not only that, we provided additional financial help and a lot of money in purchasing time from their station when they were in need of money. But we made it possible to finish this cross, which is why it's our camera crew that's present when the cross is raised on the hill. And as usual, the only time they want to mention Gene Scott is when they got some untruthful dirt to talk about. And I'm really getting sick of it. There would be no Rose Bowl Aquatic Center without me in this church. There would be no Jackie Robinson statue without me in this church. There would be no USS Pasadena named after the city if they hadn't come to me saying we're going to lose it without help. They never would have finished the 10 million drive, short 2 million in the downtown library, and more important than the 2 million, it never would have gone before the conscience of the city what they had to do to restore it without the telethon that we paid for, provided the personnel, did everything. There'd be no El Sereno Youth Center without this church. And there'd be 100,000 short out there at the Juvenile Center, Junior Achievement Organization, with its headquarters out in Burbank near the Equestrian Center, without 100,000 we put in. There'd be no Historic Theater Foundation. We hadn't provided the original grant. I'd go on. And there'd be no Hollywood Cross erected on the hill for the church on the way with 16,000 members to take care of. I'm in the business of truth, and I'm offended. I'm made to look like I'm saying something that didn't happen. So I'm going to show you the evidence. I need you to simply say yes or no, Ed, as I ask those that have the tape ready. Was that December 12th, 1993? December 12, 1993. This article says, the cross was resurrected in 1993. A Simi Valley shortwave radio evangelism organization, High Adventure Ministries, and the Kiwanis Club. Now, maybe the Kiwanis Club's in good faith spend as much as whatever they spent. It wouldn't go up if I hadn't extended the money to High Adventure to finish the job. And George Otis thought enough of it that he came as my guest to the cathedral. And in addition to other things we've done, where I'm introducing him and taking up an offering for their ministry, for George Otis. And knowing that we had supplied the money to make it possible to put the cross up, he had this to say, December 12, 1993.
Taylor and I spoke this morning as we drove up here.
Es gracioso que John Taylor y yo hablamos esta mañana al venir aquí.
We looked on the university cathedral.
Estábamos mirando hacia la catedral universitaria.
We looked around all of this great city.
Y miramos por toda esta ciudad.
We saw only one thing that caused our heart to beat fast.
Y vimos solamente una cosa en realidad que hizo que nuestro corazón latiera
Jesus
rápido.
Saves.
Y eran las carteles
de everything.
Jesús
Jesus
salva. Tan grande que cualquier cosa. Jesús salva. Y por toda la ciudad.
And we said, that's it.
Y hemos dicho, eso es.
That's the word of the Lord.
Eso es la palabra de Dios.
We're building right now a 35-foot lighted cross.
Estamos construyendo una cruz de 35 pies.
To sit above the most wicked city in the world.
Para que esté por encima de la ciudad más maligna del mundo.
And the most glamorous city in the world.
Y la más llamativa del mundo.
I'm speaking of Hollywood.
Estoy hablando de Hollywood.
And we said that reminds us of Dr. Scott.
Y dijimos, eso nos recuerda del Dr. Scott.
On the same night that you go on the air to India and China.
En la misma noche que van a salir en el aire a India y China,
which is Christmas Eve,
que es la noche de las Navidades,
this great cross will light up.
Esta grande cruz se encenderá.
And it will dedicate at its feet.
Y tendrá un dedicatorio a los pies de ella.
Dr. Scott and this congregation.
Se refiriéndose a Dr. Scott y esta congregación.
To stand there across from the bowl.
Para estarse allí en frente del bowl,
as a banner of Jesus,
como una bandera de Jesús,
and dedicated
y dedicada
to you people,
a ustedes todos. Que Dios.
Now, come to me. Well, he just decided to dedicate that cross to us because we made it possible. And it was our film crew there recording for posterity the restoration of that cross that we provided the necessary added money to High Adventure to get it installed. I'm just sick of the fact. I like to get all credit in heaven. I'm taken back. In the interest of integrity. My guess is they didn't even interview George Otis because his name is not even mentioned here. My guess is they went to the people who are now maintaining it. But, you know, I'm tempted. In fact, I'm going to tell my staff now. Find the tape where the pastor of the church of the open door. I know him as Jack. You know his name? Jack Hayford sat beside me when the stage was over there as my guest on festival. Shortly after I came here. and looked into the cameras and said and reminded me of when I'd finished the work as research director of the General Council of the Assemblies of God, in which this Blue Ribbon Committee had been charged with examining the history of the Assemblies of God and coming forth with a report of its strengths and its weaknesses to diminish the weaknesses and augment the strengths. And the five-year plan was launched, and it was launched at a giant council on evangelism at the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis. And as the research director of the committee, with 11,000 ministers present from various denominations, including the Foursquare, I preached the message on Wednesday night, launching this program on the meaning and message of the church. At the close of the service, I made an altar call. I called for those of the 11,000 ministers that were present, for those that were willing to do it God's way and break the mold of cookie-cutter imitation and get out there with the Lord, because the heart of the message was the church is the Lord's, the meaning of the church, which you have heard me teach on, Kyriakon, the Lord's. Jack Hayford sat there and said he was one of those that came forward, and that night birthed in his heart the determination that produced the church on the way. I'm tired of people that have criticized me and been thankless of the things that we have done for the whole community and for the church at large. The current Attorney General is proposing a change in Section 17,000 and 12,000 of the Government Code and the Business Code. Had we not led the fight and got the Petrus Bill passed, which created a completely separate section, in the codes, Section 9 to 30 to be exact, for churches, that lifted churches out of the charitable trust pot that they were put in, this new code section would totally bring churches under the supervisory control, like every other charitable corporation, would so cripple the churches they couldn't even function. And this new Senate bill is before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. If we had not been able to separate churches from general charitable corporations with so many crooks running around, as some within the charitable section who are good people are saying it's going to hurt the good people as well as penalize the bad. This current overkill of government control that I recognized years ago and was willing to put myself on the line to protect churches that couldn't take that kind of supervision. My Lord, I'm trained to run a college. I could handle the supervision. But I recognized what it would do to churches by the thousands in this statement. If it happened here, it'd go across the country. In an exaggerated attempt to get at cults, they were going to cripple the good churches. I got no thanks for that. All I got was criticism. But I'm telling you, you better check the current bill to tighten the control on charitable trust, and I'll tell you what it's aimed toward. The Muslims that have been used in charitable trusts. You surely have read the news enough to know the number of various charitable trusts that were feeding money to the terrorists. So they're going to try to get the evil. They tighten it until the good can't walk. The Price of Freedom's association with nuts. Some of you will remember at the Great Convention, as we were going down the final battles to get the Petrus Bill passed, I said, The head of the devil church in San Francisco could sit on the platform with me. In our united effort of constitutional rights, then we can go out in the street and fight out between us. There's nothing worse than a religious right, incipient fascism with a halo around you. That's the evil of fundamentalistic Islamic faith. I've said for years, I will respect no Muslim until he rejects jihad. I will respect no Catholic until he rejects the Inquisition. I will respect no Christian until he condemns the Crusades. I will respect no German until he condemns the Holocaust. I will respect no Turk until he condemns the genocide of the Armenians. And I will respect no Christian that thinks we need a Christian government. This is not time for a theocracy. Well, you get to heaven and then watch the devil burn. Jefferson had it right. Keep them separate. There's no fascism worse than the religious right ruling today. When I called down John Ashcroft in church in Central Assembly in Springfield as a teenager and told him to sit up, straighten up, and shut up, or he's going out, I should have put him in a cage and kept him there forever. He's going to destroy more civil rights, no matter how good intentioned he is, and catch no terrorists. I mean, the best version of Condoleezza Rice you're ever going to get is that bare-boob Jackson girl that imitated her on Saturday Night Live last Saturday night. That was last night, wasn't it? Condoleezza Rice dropped it again. Except it was that Jackson girl doing a skit on her. I don't like religious fanatics in government. I'd rather have a total agnostic. I am tired of doing good and have it called evil. I'm tired of doing good and having it called evil, and that which can unavoidably be called good, ignore it. So like Paul who played the fool once, I think I've shown you we were part of that Hollywood cross. I can't believe if they got to George Otis, he wouldn't tell them that. That was December 12th. December 24th was when it was Delight, the night before Christmas. Isn't that what George said? Dedicated to me and this congregation. That's newsworthy. I mean, don't come around and talk to me now. That's too late. When they used to want to interview me on the media, I'd say, come on my show. I'll interview you. We're media, too. And I'm doing my job now that the media is supposed to do, which tell the truth and the whole truth. So on December 23rd, after it had been erected, the frame erected, lights installed between that time and turning them on, our camera crew was there when it was raised. And I was on festival talking about various things like this, including the Jesus Save signs. And I showed my audience the raising of that Hollywood cross. And in the same festival, I also threw in some footage about raising the Jesus Save signs that we saved from the junkyard along Highway 110. So the way we're going to do this, I'm going to tell you roll ahead when there's a lot of talk, director, and you just spin it ahead. I don't care if you just let the music go and spin it ahead and show some other picture. I don't really care if you just show fast. Any of you ever seen Fast Forward? It's kind of entertaining, isn't it? So if you have to do it that way, I don't care. But I was talking about leading up to the erection of the Hollywood cross. Let this roll. This was December 23rd, 1993. An exciting day when we lifted the Jesus Save sign, but we had done that earlier. I just wove it in, as George Otis did in his guest appearance on the 12th of December. Did we have a part in that sign or not, folks?
Yes, sir.
Pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, that ends that subject, and we can go on. In the interest of truth, and I'm saying now what I was saying when the picture was going, had we done what we've done for many years, just done it and never ever said anything about it, but we had told our audience of their participation, and George dedicated the cross to me and to this congregation on the night of his lighting, the Sunday he announced it, or the Sunday that he was with us, he announced it, because that was before the 12th of December, when they hadn't yet gotten to the point of taking it and lifting it on the hill. He dedicated it as he announced the illumination on the night of the 24th. If that had not been said, I cannot allow my congregation and audience to think we were making a claim that didn't occur. Now, the air is clear. Let's get on with this festival. I need about another... I don't want to tell you how many reservations I need. It always happens this way. There were people you didn't see in the balcony today. We had a wonderful crowd today. But then you always, the Sunday after Easter, you hit me with too many red seats. So proud of yourself for being there today and lasting through the message. You decide not to come next Sunday. Make your reservations. Build on what happened this morning. Now get on the telephone. You know, some nice calls are coming in from here, too. Santa Ana, or rather Anaheim. I remember hearing your message on TP from the Kingdom of the Dancing Stallions years ago. I knew then that this was the church for me. You know, you really shouldn't come to the cathedral for any reason other than the teaching. Some people have a receiver and some don't. There are people all their life want to go to Bible school. We got it in your home 24 hours a day. And I've learned in these 30 years of being pastor, 30 years this first Sunday in November, there are a lot of people that came to the church just because they had a fighting spirit and I was fighting people. Fighting people that need to be fought. There are a lot of people that came. I remember I had to deal with some tax protesters that had swallowed the fact that they didn't have to pay taxes because it was unconstitutional. Too late for that one, folks. And I don't want anybody working for me that didn't pay their taxes. I mean, you know, figure out which ones you can win and which ones you can lose. And we're going to ultimately win them all, I mean, lose them all. Most churches have forgotten that there's a double charge given to the church in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. They thought that the tribulation had already come, Antichrist was upon them. And he let them know that Antichrist could not come. And he used a personal pronoun. Until he that restraineth them be taken out of the way. Well, now, there have been all kinds of debates on who the he is, the personal pronoun, until the restrainer be taken out of the way. It's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is very present during the tribulation. There are people that will be saved out of the tribulation. Frankly, I doubt very seriously that it will be anybody that heard the gospel and didn't respond before the tribulation. It'll be people that hear the message that didn't have the chance. If you haven't got it to serve God now, you sure ain't going to give your head to serve Him. And by the way, there's just an awful lot of nonsense being preached in prophecy. The restored Roman Empire because of the image of Rome being the legs of iron and the ten-toed kingdom that will be iron and clay. And therefore, there's going to be a restoration of the old Roman Empire seated in Europe. And they talked about the European Union as being that. Antichrist is going to come from that section of the Middle East where the Seleucid king under Alexander the Great ruled. I've said from the day I came here, he'll come from Syria, Iraq, or Transjordan. From the day I came here, all the prophecy preachers missed the feet of clay. The dirt kingdom. You think God forgot the Arabic in his prophetic overlook? The Islamic forces, the high priest, the false prophet, that is. I'm going to say it right now. He'll be a Islamic cleric. The Antichrist kingdom, there is nowhere in the civilized world that beheading is being used with a halo around it like the fanatical Islamic world. And beheading is the way those that are saved in the tribulation, the Christians that will not renege on their faith in God and accept Antichrist, head chopped off. The Islamic fanatical world is the only place that puts a halo and religiously justifies beheading. You know, wake up with some major television prophecy preacher that Craig Lamp once worked with, and Craig went to him after I'd done a series from Daniel and Revelation and the three-headed eagle in the apocryphal literature. He said, "I know Doc Scott's right, but I can't change. I've published too many books. Get on the telephone, then I'll finish." Now, I was saying, you shouldn't come to the cathedral except for the teaching. If you're one of those looking for a church that will take care of your kids and provide your social life and give you an outlet of activities, parties, and such activities as bike rides together and baseball games, go to another church. You take care of your kids, but I have a philosophy that I'll teach you as the parents and you better teach your kids. One of the great problems in religion is enculturated Christianity. The Catholics understand it. Give him a child while he's young. By 6 years old, we'll have him. But enculturated Christianity inevitably produces Christians who think they're going to make it by doing more good things than bad things. It inevitably produces the do-gooders. You better start teaching your kids to do good to get your respect. You're feeding them. And don't ever use these phrases, "Jesus won't like you if you do that." Because you're doing worse than your kids do and have done most of your life. And God still likes you enough to give his son for you. Enculturated Christianity creates insulated, shell-covered, habitual Christians in a social environment who think that they don't need to be saved, who think Jesus never died for them, because they don't really have a sense of their need of God. You need to set an example of what God means by your performance. Those kids see a commitment that I will not miss the teaching at the cathedral for you in Los Angeles if I can walk. That teaches your kid more than some pseudo-Bible teacher in a Sunday school class. I mean, I really felt sorry for the students in a guy's class who came up to me in Monrovia and said, and he obviously was interrupting rudely, so he needed to learn some Christian manners. He walked up to me at a restaurant in Monrovia. "Dr. Scott, I teach a Sunday school class on Songs of Solomon, an exodus, and I would like your input and your ideas. I said, go down to the Fuller bookstore and buy J. Vernon McGee Through the Bible. That didn't move him away. I thought, you know, if you have to walk up to somebody on the street to get help before you can teach your class, you need to be sitting in my class. If you want to be taught by me, come to church. Unless you've mastered the book of Romans, for example, stay away from Song of Solomon. You know, I got my suspicions about the erotic discussions of boobs and lips and things like that. You know, stay out of that. You know, you better get Romans under your belt before you describe the love scenes in poetic language in Songs of Solomon, until you can maybe get above the libido enough to understand the spiritual meaning of Christ and His church. I want your kids to open their minds, and I'll take care of their faith when they're 12 years old, and they will think it's an honor to come in the cathedral, and they will sit with their parents until they're married or of age. Not discussable. We don't have any delinquents in our church. Don't have any disrespectful teenagers. They're going to learn at your feet to respect God's house, God's word, put on display at the cathedral, and God's man. That's all they need to know when the time comes, that God tweaks the receiver in them. They will not view the church as a hated place they were forced to go. They will not be discovering that inadequate teachers taught them something less than the truth. And they will not have sat at tables and listened to supercritical parents dissect the preacher. They will be taught by your behavior to respect God's man and know where to go when the time comes. I'm not interested in raising your kids for you. I'm interested in giving you the Word of God until you can raise them. And they better learn to respect you as the father and the mother. Because you're the father and the mother, not because you're perfect. We live in a sick society. Fathers are afraid to even lift their little girl and hold her in his arms because somebody's going to. And you've got teenagers that threaten you if you discipline them, they'll call 911. A lot of people recognize they need the old-fashioned type church that we have. God's Word reigns supreme. And I have discovered, and I started to say, there are people that came in for various reasons over the years, but not for the right reason. And I said when I started Romans, it would sort this congregation out. When I'm done with Romans, there ain't anybody going to be coming to the cathedral that doesn't come like this person that waits eagerly for Sunday morning on TV. Because you really want to know. You've come to understand that you're not supposed to be like those that Paul in the book of Hebrews condemned, because when they ought to be teachers, they have need of being taught again. You will understand that the purpose of the church is not for you to be blessed with some spiritually erotic experience every Sunday. Now, most churches are no different than... All they do is excite the same needs in human beings that a rock concert brings forth. They go there to get their spiritual rocks off. They go to just have a binge. The same reason that people go to clubs and let it go. I don't know what they would have done with their spiritual noisemakers in the catacombs of Rome that had been in the arena the next day. They didn't go into a catacomb in Rome to have a Holy Spirit laughing fit and a jump session. And you know, I've been around the world in this Pentecostal revival. I sat on the balcony in Santiago, Chile, and watched the Pentecostals of Chile go through their motions where they believed you were filled with the Spirit if you danced. And I'm looking over the balcony and all these little rings, people ringed around like ring around the rosies with two or three victims in the middle that hadn't danced in the Spirit yet. And I just watched them. I mean, the preacher was just an unnecessary preliminary to the dancing binge. I've told you the camp meetings in the South and the Pinewood Flats where I was the morning teacher, the unspiritual part of the camp meeting. The preacher of the night, he only had to start quoting Acts 2, and they all start screaming and running. And they'd thunder out under the lifted tent flaps and stomp around out in that Pinewood. The only thing that convinced me maybe the Spirit was somehow leading him is nobody killed themselves by running into a tree. I believe that all of that has its place. But two of you in your own home ought to be able to manufacture that kind of blessing. It's the words of truth. And I have come to the absolute recognition of what the parable of the sower said. The soil determines it. There are some that have a hunger for the word, and the more you get, the more you want. You can't get enough of it. And there are others that just sort of endure the word and put in their appearance. And you can't manufacture the receiver that's tuned to the transmitter. And in the years that I have left, which are plenty, I really don't want anybody in front of me that sleeps through the message. I don't really want anybody in front of me that wants something from the church other than what I'm delivering every Sunday morning. Just go find another church that will tickle your various arousements in your spiritual being. I want you to understand, you come to grips with the Helasterion, the source of all joy eternal. And that'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, not full of the flesh. So I'm just telling you what I said when I came here 29 years ago. Most of you do not belong in our cathedral. Most of you that listen to me, I'm saying. Most of those who were there this morning belong there. But if you don't know that this is the feeding trough of food that brings life eternal, you shouldn't be there. And I'm saying to everyone that was there this morning, if you can get it better and faster and fuller somewhere else, go. And bring me a recording. I'll get even with some of those that steal from me. I'm telling you, there's only one reason for coming to the cathedral. Listen to the service tonight that plays at 10 o'clock. If you want that kind of teaching, no matter what you may think, you can't get the fullness of it just on TV. You've got to be there in the atmosphere to get the full impact. But I'm telling you, don't come for any other reason. We take care of your kids. I put them in a in an air-conditioned bus from 2 to 12 and take them to one of 40-some museums in the immediate vicinity, some of the greatest museums. I want them to open their mind. God's not afraid of truth. I'll take care of their faith, teaching you until you can take care of it. We have constant reports, because we've done it for so many years, that our kids, the King's kids we call them, are ahead in school because of what they learn in these museums. Sure, they hear some crazy stuff from scientism when they go to tar pits and they hear about evolution. Well, what's the matter with you? They're going to hear it just as soon as they get to school. I mean, they'll know more about what they're rejecting than any other kid in town. When they are 12, they're eager to come in the cathedral. And some of the teenagers understand what I'm saying better than their parents. Take care of your kids. Up to 2, the nursery takes care of them. The adults are in the service, able to listen to the message. When the service is over or before the service, take your kids to the Bible displays. It's a seminary course in itself. You can go every week to a different station and still will not absorb it all. The Word is supreme. The pastor's respected. Or you leave. You're not going to bring your baggage from Egypt, and you're not going to change our church. You make a decision that you can go to college and seminary and the Word of God, go to the home page, go to the internet, buy a shortwave radio, get a KU band dish, get the big dish. You can listen to us 24 hours a day. On the home page is a schedule of the programming. You can pick your subject and study it. The Roman series is running over again. 11:30 every night, 12 noon every day. You can rehear the 240 messages. You can hear the teaching on the pyramids, hear the teaching on the lost tribes, Daniel and Revelation. Book after book I went through, and what we were illustrating about George Otis was the time that I was going through the book of Ephesians and using a Spanish translator. I want it understood. You that are tired of being taught and came for other reasons, you should leave. The sooner you leave, the better. Well, I've got a lot of mileage here, and I've put a lot of money in here and contributions. Well, at this church, you pay tithes and offerings, which belong to the Lord, first fruits and tithes, and nobody is to give until you are taught, and then an expression of the worth of the teaching. So you're paying for what you already got, so your money doesn't buy you anything at this church. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
And the widow's mite, if that's all she could give in a statement of the worth of the teaching, that counts as much as some in this church that started from nothing. And what they learned and the faith they've applied has produced blessing, and then they've left God out of the equation, and they give tips to God. But I've made it very clear. We don't raise money for projects. It ain't your money. The tithe is God's. The first fruit's God's. You're paying a debt. There's some crazy laws coming along. I encountered one not long ago in family law where if you don't have a signed statement from both the husband and wife, they try this in bankruptcy court too. They're going to go back 6 months and reverse the contributions to a church. Didn't get very far with that one. But it'll happen. The world views it as your money. I'm telling you, I don't want any of your money. Don't try to give me any of your money. You send a designated check for a specific purpose, it's going to be sent back to you. The tithe is the Lord's, the first fruits are the Lord's, and only those that are bit with a spiritual bite, and recognize the earth is the Lord's, and His blood bought you 100%, and you are the luckiest person on earth, He lets you keep the 90% and will bless it. Or let you keep the 100% and curse it. The tithe is the Lord's. The first fruits are the Lord's. I don't let you give anything else. Either, if you don't believe in tithe, there are a lot of people who give for this other reasons. Galatians 6. But him that's taught in the word, koinonia, is the word in the Greek, materially, koinonia, share with the one who taught you in all good things, material things. Don't send any money until I've taught you. Then your giving is worship, which is a contraction of worth-ship. You're saying, I've been taught, and you're saying to God, this is my statement of what the teaching is worth. And it therefore is no more your money than what you pay at a restaurant after you've eaten. You got the food, now you're paying. The only difference is you get to set the value. But God's listening in, and He's the one that gave the order. Share materially. Mutually share in good things with the one who taught you. Doesn't matter whether he's rich or poor. You're testifying to the worth of the teaching. And then it says that sowing to the Spirit, and it releases the Spirit of life to reap a harvest of life eternal. We don't use gimmicks. We don't have telethons. We teach. There's all kinds of other churches. This is the teaching church. The Word is supreme. This is where ordinary people get to go to a life of Bible school and Bible study. I don't think that any of you that have been here 30 years are saying, well, I'm just getting the same old stuff every week. Isn't it interesting that message 240 happens to be climaxing those verses on the hilasterion that I'll bet some of you never understood until this year that without the resurrection there's no hilasterion. Furthermore, you didn't even know where it was. Well, why can't I just say the little sinner's prayer and forget about it, pay my insurance token, and I get to heaven no matter what? Because God is looking at you, and He sees what's in the thief. And I told you not too many weeks ago, the natural carnal in me wants to punch the thief on the cross out when I get there and say, you dirty rat, you only had to say, remember me and your kingdom. You didn't have to go through any of the things Scott's gone through. I mean, you got about peanut knowledge. You recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. You say, remember me and your kingdom. And you get in with none of the cross-bearing that we're doing, but He died a pretty terrible death. God saw through Christ what was in Him. There's no stopping point in spiritual development. But you reach a stage where you got to have an outlet. Okay? We got people who just drift in and drift out, and we got people who drift in and stay there and never go any further. But we've always had the challenge of the only fellowship that I want you to have in this church is fellowship with fellow workers in witness of service. You get your fellowship serving. Thus, the fellowship unites you in the triangle that you are meeting one another personally in a situation where God is the focus. You're serving. That's why I want 300 volunteers to give 12 hours a week. But I've said repeatedly, if you're not going to give the 12 hours, don't stop what you're doing. I'm watching some people take an exodus because they're not willing to give the 12 hours. Or they're not willing to give it unqualifiedly. If they can't pick the job they're going to do, they're not going to make themselves available. There's no place for you here. Go find another church that really needs your superior talent. Get out. Get out. Just take your ego and your marbles and go. We don't need your money. Well, You took it for years. I gave it, yeah, and you took the teaching, too. And I've done more with your money, so-called, than you've done with my teaching. So you got the better deal. This is straight talk. I'm interested in helping guide you home. I'm interested in you recognizing the thief is one of those that came in at the end of the day and just paid the same. Jesus understands what's in the heart. You have been positioned to not only continually grow in the Spirit, learning the truths of God that will help you as you rule and reign with Him throughout eternity, but also being given the opportunity to take the message round the world to tens of thousands that don't have the opportunity to come to the cathedral. And like those who held the ropes for Paul and led him over the wall at Damascus, you get equal credit. The pots in the house of the Lord are the same as the bowls before the altar. And as David said, those that stay with the stuff get the same reward as those on the front lines. That's why I'm looking for 300 that will give 12 hours a week. This is like the special forces, the Delta forces, the commandos, the SEALs. That more is expected and they give more than the general army. I wish I could get some people to have the same sense of heroism and desire to advance that makes a person become a SEAL instead of a reserve, hoping that you won't be called but may have to go as a foot soldier. I'm hoping some will want to make the kind of commitment like the mighty men of David. I need 300. If you want fellowship, get in here and work with them. Learn to operate the various parts of this ministry. Air shift, camera crews, security at the cathedral, 24-hour voices of faith, or clean the toilets here. You'll meet people in fellowship and service. That's all I'm interested in. The church is a people that belong to the Lord, not something that belongs to you. The iglesia, or iglesia, or the various Latin words, Latin language words, out called ones, ecclesia. You're called out from you and yours to assemble to do what the caller wants. So don't come to the cathedral unless you come because you love the Word. Don't come to the cathedral except you're treating it as a classroom where you're going to hear something. Well, I can hear it at home. Okay, you sure can. But not with the same impact as if you're there. And if you have truly been taught and your life is being changed by what is being taught, then you ought to have a fire in your being to want to be present, to inspire the teacher, to make sure that that inspiration not only launches with anybody knows, I don't read my message from notes, I'm going to be inspired by who's there. I'm not an unconscious preacher. Your reactions tell me when I have communicated what I'm wrestling to communicate until you truly understand it. You have that credit, and in addition, you get equal credit as though you preach the message to all across the world that can't come to the cathedral because you have held the ropes, so to speak, or held my arms up like Aaron and Hur. That's a ministry. If you don't see that, you shouldn't come to the cathedral. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Well, then get on the phone, you that understand that and want to be part of this ministry, get on the phone, make your reservations for Sunday. You can't get in without a pass, and we'll mail the pass to you. Now get on the telephone. I think I'm going to do something. never before done in this 29 years of television ministry. You see, there are things here now able to be shared in this King's House 2 that can't be done at the cathedral. The cathedral is a platform to launch a message every Sunday. But here's where the 29 years of the trenches, where the voices of faith receive the messages. And I told you we are getting the baptistry ready for a baptismal like we did years ago on television. You know, my dad's not here to help me anymore, but my wife is. She's the ordained administrative pastor and ordained with the denomination. I don't do weddings. I don't do baby dedications. The constricture of time at the cathedral doesn't allow it. I'm not interested in having prayer services with people where they can get up and show off their eloquence. But the first thing I put in the tower down at the cathedral that we're refurbishing the way we did the cathedral, that big tower that you see, which will be the university cathedral at the church entrance and the Tower of Faith, 14 stories. First thing I did was the prayer tower up in that big spired tower you see on top that was full of pigeons, and what pigeons leave is now a prayer tower. And immediately below it in that spired tower, another level of prayer tower. One monastic, the other inspirational with its icons all around. I bet you didn't know that my wife had provided a place of prayer here for you. It's part of Secret 16. And I gave a preview earlier because we have cleaned up Studio C and turned it into a place of prayer. A place that she can do baby dedications. She can marry you unless you go on a marrying binge until she can't get her work done. And I'm telling you, in this congregation, if she marries you once, there better not be any trade-offs. You ain't going to get a hearing when you come in the second time. This is not a wife-swapping church. Just thought I'd say that. I mean, I get to some of you people, some of you couples that didn't make it, and you don't make it. Only one of you is going to stay. You're not going to flaunt your partner, ex-partner, in the presence of others. Some of my ex-witches are still alive, but I ain't fostering them off on you. If they get saved, they're going to do it somewhere else. You know, here we just tell you the way it is, don't we?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm going to have a camera follow me. You're pretty good. You can follow. Get somebody to help you with the cords. Will those cords reach clear out in the hall?
I don't know, sir.
Well, I don't know either. Will somebody that knows tell me which one of these handhelds will reach out in the court, out in the hall? You don't have to go all the way out in the hall. All you have to do is stand over there by the map, and we'll open the doors. Is that a double door over there? Open the double door. I've never done this. It'll tell you it's live. Don't open the double door. Is that what you're saying? The camera, how far will it go? We've had people stand over there and film that map. That's as far as I want him to go. I don't want him out in the hall. I want him standing by that chair over there. How far will it go? Well, how far will this one go? Just change cameras. Walk way over there. Gone. Just change cameras. That'll go. That's all I need. Whoa. Just set your camera down. Whoa. John, just set your camera down. We don't need it for a few minutes. Now, this ought to prove to you it's live, isn't it? And I'm going to let some of you see the way we cleaned up Studio C. How many remember that eyesore? You're just stacked from ceiling to floor with... Amazing what a little tender touch will accomplish on a junk room. I just want him to stand there, Melissa, and just... Will that double door open over there? Open it. I thought she was saying no to that. Open it. I mean, there's three men over there. Surely they can open it. Now, I don't want a camera on anything until I say, Director, put it on that camera. You guys can follow me. Ed, you can help these guys turn around. They don't need anything. Why don't you turn your camera around and take a picture over there where my wife is of that mat and let the director show me you got it. And you keep your camera on the door. And you just stay where you're at, Ed.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me see this camera, whatever it is, three or two or four or five or whatever. The one that's on the mat, that's good. That'll see us passing by the map. Now, let me see your camera of the door. The other one. Surely the director can figure out that this is camera five. That's the door. You've got both doors open. Now, and there'll be any music or anything. I'm going to carry my microphone, which I think it'll still work as I go through there. I'll carry my microphone. And there's a curtain drawn over a set of doors. I'm going to hold my camera with me, and I hope I can get your reaction to this. Beginning tonight, when the curtain is not closed, you always have a place to go in and prayer. Just go in and sit and pray and prepare yourself. After you fight the traffic getting here, you need some place to prepare. This is the place we can do baby dedications. This is the place we can do, and I think you're probably going to book. You're probably going to want to leave your companion or else get remarried. Now, I'm just going to empty this room. And this one camera is going to stand where you are, John.
Yes, sir.
And don't try to be fancy. You just take this picture. Am I still on camera?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's take this bunch first, just one row at a time. Follow me as I show you the prayer chapel. Press in close. Press in close. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I can't see the screen. But hurry, hurry, hurry. Press in close. I mean, can't you move? Come on, hurry up. Come on in. Can they still hear me on TV? Somebody tell me.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure John's camera can pick up part of this, but you shouldn't be able to see what these people are seeing. If you want to see what these people are seeing, come and be a voice of faith.
Yes.
Take your seats in the pews. Move fast, folks. I know you're sort of gaga. Don't sit on the end. Move into the middle of the pew so people can get in. Hurry, hurry! We're doing live time. And those people that are on TV can't see anything except me, and they're looking from afar. Where's the rest of them? Send the rest of them in here. How fast can they get in here? They're going to have to stand around the rail.
We're all here.
Ever, both sides?
Yes, sir.
All the voice of faith. Everybody's here?
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, John.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, John. Father, we dedicate this place to the use of these voices of faith that come here 24 hours a day with much sacrifice to be Someone called tonight and says, oh, you startled me. I thought I'd get an answering machine. To be a live voice that says, Dr. Scott Lines, and thus guarantee that the messages get to the pastor. It's a place they can come anytime, 24 hours a day, to just sit here and get a new grip on their faith and gaze upon the truth of the Hilasterion, the resurrected Christ. Now, we got work to do tonight, but I want these voices of faith to understand we love them and appreciate what they're doing. And this is their place to come for spiritual strength in any kind of crisis and just sit here and know that you care and we care and that by faith all things are possible. May it become a source of blessing and strength in the years ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Back to work. This is your chapel to come to at any time that the curtain is not pulled. You don't even have to ask. You just come in here and be alone with the Lord. Not a place to socialize, not a place to talk, a place to pray. Pray and meditate, knowing that when you sit down out here, you're going to battle in faith. Can you believe that was the junk room called Studio C? Let's give my wife a hand. Now, you may be seated. Part of Secret 16, we don't raise money for projects. We just set our mind to do certain things and then tell you after the fact. Your giving is to say and worship what the teaching has meant to you. And when I was recovering from my heart attack, and 4 years ago this October, being told with a double 10 Gleason, every cell in the prostate cancerous, 10 to 12 months to live, or immediate surgery or radiation or both, I went by faith. My wife sought out quiet places that she could pray for me in that crisis. When Lod Cook went through his multiple heart bypass surgery, the hospital had a chapel, and after I prayed with him before he went into the anesthesiologist's care, after doing that, I went down to the chapel. I didn't leave the chapel until he came out of the surgery. And it was the dream of my wife to have a place that the voices of faith could seek spiritual strength before you came out here to the war. Or just a place you could go 24 hours a day in this work-centered fellowship place called King's House 2. The doors will always be open unless for some specific purpose, cleaning the glass, keeping the place as spotless as it is, that it may never become another Studio C junk room. It's always open for you. Any hour, any crisis. If you're one of those working here and volunteering in this ministry, you have access. If you're not, well, that's awful. Shouldn't it be for everybody? No. It's for those that care about this ministry And we care about those who care about this ministry and want you to have a place. Well, can't I just come in off the street anytime? You know, if I happen to be in the area. Well, yeah, if you're at King's House, if you're a supporter of this ministry, yeah. Well, what if I'm just a drunk and I want a place to recover? Go to the mission. This is special. I want you to understand. Well, isn't that elitism? You better believe it. That's exactly what I'm saying. Neither I nor God are out begging for friends. We have a mission. I teach you. Don't give unless I teach you. Give what you think the teaching's worth. If you're a supporter, you want fellowship, find it in service. You don't necessarily have to volunteer your time 12 hours a week, though those are the really elite. And some people not willing to do that are just really upset because they used to be the elite in their own eyes. You're not supposed to be in here if you're not a tither. Let me say that again. You're not supposed to be in here if you're not a tither. I don't see any fellowship with thieves and robbers. I mean, you're a thief and a robber. And a pretty gutsy one, too, if you're robbing from God. Well, I never. Yeah, you did. You just heard it. This is a special church. Not everybody should be here. Not everybody belongs. I want a bunch of dummies and retards. We support missions. We give to charitable groups to take care of them. Every horse show I've gone to is a charity. Every check we write to these horse shows, those in the horse business are supporting charities all the time. Because every horse show supports some charity. We give to charity. We named a lot of the things we do. This is a place for special people that have listened to the teaching and decided, you know, ministry to the Lord is important. The church is the Lord's. I'm one of the lucky ones that He put the receiver in that can hear the message. I've said repeatedly, you have no idea how lucky you are that you have a hunger for the Word. Most people don't. They go to church for other reasons. There are others around here, you can't do anything. You can't hit them with a club hard enough, they'll leave. They want the Word. They're rebellious and don't want to apply the Word all the time. But there's something in some people that they just know when they are hearing it right and they can't stand not to keep hearing it. Other people, you could pry their mouth open and suddenly mix the Bible with ice cream in some mixture and he couldn't get it down their throat. They have no interest in the Word. They just want their sins laid on the scapegoat so they're done with that so they can get on with their life. And I'm just old and crotchety enough and work too hard. I've thought about it a lot. John Wright Follett, Gene will kill you. Come so hard and taken as a casual. Don't want it to kill me, so I'm going to eliminate the casual takers.
Yes, sir.
Just eliminate them. Not going to kill me. I'm going to get rid of you. I'm a teacher. That mean you want to stay? All right, get back on the telephone. Now, I want you voices of faith that are here tonight, and the workers. One of the burdens that I and my wife have is that People listen to the teaching, work their heads off, and are so caught up with the teaching, they're then driving the traffic and come here every chance they get to be voices of faith. And then they come to work, and they get caught up in the working. And like you've heard me say thousands of times, try breathing out three times without breathing in once. We have workers here that make mistakes, get corrected, or face a challenge. They need to have a place to go in and confess to God and ask Him for help. Just a place of prayer in here for the workers. Not a place to... I don't want to see anybody sitting in there conversing. If you got prayer requests, put them on the phone. They now come to me, the messages. I don't miss any of them. My wife, to make sure that they are prioritized and analyzed. You go in there to pray. There'll be times that I'll go in there with the prayer requests or my wife, and you're not going to see some stack of prayer requests and stacks of paper. It's pretty meaningless to pray over a stack of paper about 4 foot wide and 3 foot high. So one thing I've taught you is to be specific when you pray. Now, Lord, You answer all of these prayer requests. You know how many games are played in the name of God. And you know, I came to town to save a church that was going to go under. And I wouldn't let it. And in the festivals this week, we've been replaying the messages from 1977, where I used Ezra and Nehemiah in the building of the temple and the rebuilding of the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the walls, to remind myself and you of what we faced those many years ago. Now, Faith Center has been saved, and King's House 1 and 2 are in the process of being freshened up. We spent a year putting new roofs on all the properties, buying new cameras that were long overused. You probably saw some of the color problems in that tape we showed of the cathedral in 1993. That was camera problem. That's not faded tapes. That's the way it was going out over the air. Secret 16, last year and this year, is you giving in testimony to the value of the Word. What we do is our way of saying we believe there's many years ahead, the best years of this ministry, and we are shoring up the foundations. And I, in her dream, wanted you to have a place, and you voice the faith here tonight. When you leave, it's open. You can go in there as much as you want. Just don't go in there to hold horizontal conversation and socialize. Go in there to get your mind on God. Go in there to pray God's continued blessing on this ministry. Go in there to ask God to keep His word. When you put Him first, He'll look out for you and yours. That's what it's for. And as I said, it's a place to that my wife can dedicate the youngsters and marry you that want to get married. Something that we've not been able to do. I had a staff member, he's not here anymore, Dave Lawrence. He would perform the weddings. Don't you go thinking you have to pay the preacher to marry you now. You pay your tithes, respond to the word. I ain't going to marry anybody that's not a participating member of this church. If you aren't a supporter of this church, I don't want to marry you. I don't want the risk of joining you in marriage with a thief or a robber. You're being kind of tough tonight. No, I'm just telling you what it's always been. Just haven't really use this time to do it, but it's an unusual festival, and I'm going to keep going till 9 o'clock. Maybe you'll understand what this church is about. I came to town to restore a church that was on the rocks, Faith Center and Faith Broadcasting Network, the Pioneer. I immediately engaged in battles for church freedom. If we had not won the battle with the National Labor Relations Board, they were declaring, a federal judge ordered me to apologize. When in the midst of live programming at one of our stations, everybody decided to strike. So we're not Walmart, and we're not Ralph's, and we're not some grocery store chain. The church is exempt from the National Labor Relations Board. And if you want to fire a person that works in the church just because he's lost his commitment to God, you can fire him. You don't have some National Labor Relations Board quota. They don't have to post a sign on the church that we're a, whatever this Fair Employment Act says. You hire people in the church because of their commitment to the purposes of the church. But a federal judge, because they were going to strike in the middle of a program, and I just locked the camera down and fired them on TV. The federal judge told me I would apologize in that same forum and hire him back, or various kinds of threats. And I went on TV and said, there'll be snowballs in hell before I do that. And we took them through the courts, and finally at the appellate level, one, that judge said that television is so inherently commercial, if a church goes on television, you're subject to the National Labor Relations Board. And if a church wants to fire an organist because his lifestyle is not in accordance with the church, federal government comes in and makes you withdraw what you've done. Not like a business. I single-handedly won that fight in Washington, D.C., and if I hadn't won it, every church that does a 30-second spot ad on radio would come under the National Labor Relations Board. I understand most pastors are not sophisticated enough to even know what we've done for them. But as I started to say earlier, when Paul talked to the Thessalonians, he said, Antichrist can't come until that which restraineth them be taken out of the way. And I went on a side road to the Revelation and Daniel Arabic kingdom, which one of these days I'll go back to that and finish Revelations and show you what is more critical is that we took our stand and would not allow the government to come in. And I made enemies in the media because they want the government to supervise churches. And when we finished that one, we took on other forces and ultimately changed the law in the state of California where churches are not treated as charitable trusts unless they choose to take one on. You can take a charitable trust, but you're not, by virtue of being a church, a charitable trust. There are not indefinite beneficiaries. The members of the church are the beneficiaries. And the landmark case was a early in this century, a previous century case in Los Angeles. I was fighting to save a church and the media didn't like what I was doing. I didn't like them either. I mean, you know, I turned them into a monkey band. I have little respect for people that are more concerned about sensationalism than they are the truth. You don't read many headlines about any good thing being done in Iraq, and I wish we weren't there and didn't want them to go in the first place. But the only thing we hear is the bad news. In fact, you ought to get that song ready. Is the head dead yet? And I understand that the guy who wrote that song is... told Mark Travis he's planning on coming to the cathedral. He's watched for years. What's his name? Yeah. Of the Eagles, right?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I ain't dead yet. But see, all of this created animosity in the media. Got a message tonight as I was talking about the the truth of the story of the cross. And someone called Voice of Faith and said, this reminds me of when we packed the city council to save the Hope Street Church and make it a historic monument, which ultimately made the Jesus Save signs a national historic monument. And one of the newscasters was overheard on the phone asking, what are we going to do? The Scott story is turning around. See, they had only wanted to slam me with bad news. They even tried to put a question mark on why we were doing the telethon for the library. I said I had an ulterior purpose. Fanatical churchmen have been burning libraries since mankind had them. And I wanted to take the position that the center of this city, one of the great historic treasures was that library, and we're for truth, and I wanted to be a churchman that would step forth and say, we're going to save the books that were burned, instead of going in the long line of churchmen who want books burned that they don't agree with. That was the only ulterior purpose. But the media tried to put some other purpose on it, that we did this to bend the council to vote the signs a historic monument. They never could figure out why we got 13-0. And they kept trying to find, did I make contributions to these councilmen? Well, that's a matter of public record. I don't make contributions to political causes. I'm available to give to charitable causes in any district in the city. We don't make political contributions. So they were frustrated they couldn't find them. How did we get that 13-0 vote? I think I'll tell this story publicly. Who's the old daddy of downtown? The city councilman they call the emperor of downtown, long gone. Who? Gil Lindsay, the former janitor that rose to power in the city. Now, it was in Gil Lindsay's district. And Gil Lindsay was entertained by the high-rise people. He was taken out to dinner, and they were laying it on in support. And his aide told me that Gil, who was the key person to get the vote for the historic monument, Gil was beginning to succumb to the pressure and the good treatment. And Gil was in his 80s. And I asked Sal, his aide, if he would deliver a message for me to Gil, and I'd known him and loved him. I mean, he was a sweetheart of a gentleman that came to the church and spoke for us. I sent him a message. I said, Gil, now all these lobbyists and the whiners and the diners were sitting there, and I sent him this note. I said, Sal, would you give it to him to read for the vote? I said, Gil, very few people in life have a chance to do something for God that can never be erased and will affect for good things around them and get credit in eternity. Lots of people spend their life, never get a chance to strike a blow for what's right. And plus the fact, you are close to stepping over that gangplank onto the ship that leads into eternity. So the chances are this opportunity will never come again. You can do what's convenient, you can do what the pressure groups want, or you can do what's right. And your vote today, you will either vote for the good of this city to keep that religious monument there, or you will vote for the businesses that have taken all the religious monuments out of this city. Before you step into eternity, know this, you had this chance today. And I trust you are going to follow your conscience and do what's right. He stood up as the councilman whose district this was in and whose wake would be followed by other council members. And when the vote came, he got up to say, I'm voting for the historic monument resolution, and I'm putting it in my district. Those lobbyists turned as white as a sheet. They thought they had him in their pocket. All I did was ask him to do what's right. The news media couldn't understand that. And that's why when we were all down there, I never heard this story before. Some local newscaster that had badmouthed me is on the phone saying, what are we going to do with the Scott story? It's turning around. And they find somebody that they can go after. And I remember when the Times sent Alan Parrucchini back to my office to say, you know, we used to think you picked the fights to just get audience, like the Jerry Springer show. But after you finished the fights and weren't fighting anymore, we have noticed the ratings and more people are listening now when you're teaching than when you were fighting. So we decided the man has something to say, and so they sent Alan Parrucchini back for another story that resulted in the cover story, ultimately on the Stanford magazine, because he left the Times and went to become a key person with the, Civil Rights Organization, ACLU. And it became the cover story. They sandwiched me on the cover of the Stanford Alumni magazine between Thatcher and Gorbachev. The only time a preacher's ever been on the cover of the Stanford Alumni magazine. The story was turning around. And that's the way the news media acts. And ever since they came to town from Chicago, I've had to deal with a new newspaper that forgot the long years in which they sent a guy out for 2 years on me and wrote 8 pages, The Life and Times of an Electronic Pastor. Alan Parrucchini says to this day, I came with a blank notebook. If I could find something wrong, just don't write it. If I didn't, I was going to say that too. And that's what he did. And when other people would try to stir something up, Parrucchini and the Times in those days would come with a follow-up story. They knew the truth. They had asked me to waive the Freedom of Information Act in my privilege and let them try to find the sand on which the FCC had built its so-called case against me. They didn't have any. They sued them, and they refused to give them information, saying it would violate my Freedom of Information rights. I had waived them. They didn't have anything. So when you don't have anything, Goshmu of Nehemiah's day said, we've got to protect his privilege. I had waived it for the church and myself. And that's when the Times turned around. But now they have new ownership. And I'm not willing to try to educate them. I'm media. If you want to hear about me, just turn the TV on. If you want to see me, come to the cathedral. As long as you understand, you're coming to be taught. Now, get on the telephone and make your reservations. Well, here's some interesting messages. Wagner, Oklahoma, watching on GE3, transponder 20, a big satellite. The teaching on the resurrection message linked to the teaching on Romans is some of the best teaching I've heard. You can teach more in 5 minutes than most people can teach in their whole life. I really appreciate it. You have my support. You know, I always fight the clock at Easter because 1 year, if you'll remember, I took either 5 or 7 weeks to preach the resurrection message. Many years I took 2 Sundays, one to present the uniqueness of Christ, and then the resurrection message second. I actually was able to compress the resurrection message itself to only about 8 minutes past an hour. But today I made it a part of the Roman series. And that required for the many new ones that were there that haven't heard the teaching on the Hilasterion, the preparatory linkage to the Hilasterion in heaven, which is the resurrected Christ. I stand amazed. I'm sure some of you will think I planned it that way. But not my regulars, have been around a long time. I actually, my wife and a couple of staff members know, I was very surprised to find a week ago Sunday that Easter was just 2 weeks away. And to come to this point in Romans, as last year we were at a point in Romans where the resurrection message exactly dovetailed, to me, means a lot as the preacher that I'm not just planning these messages. I study and God leads. And to me, it's not an accident that God, at this time on the calendar, has led me to be at this place in Romans where I can link the resurrection message with the Hilasterion. Now, that's not the one that's going to play tonight because you've gotten so spoiled thinking you're going to get to see the Sunday morning service Sunday night on KDOC. Not planned anymore. You've got to come to the cathedral to hear the current messages on Romans. Or you got to get a dish or a shortwave radio or pick us up on the internet or get a satellite dish or a KU band dish. If you want to hear it, you're going to have to do that or come to the cathedral. What we'll play tonight is last year's resurrection message, edited down to an hour. It played all over the network today, and it's going to play here at 10 o'clock tonight. So I've got another 27 minutes to make you work and call and run the reservations up for those that want to be in the live service, and there are a lot of you calling, first-timers, next Sunday. Make the reservation so we can mail you a pass. Now get on the telephone. It's California. I've been listening to you since 1981 or 83. I've heard this Easter message over and over again every year. But did you know, Dr. Scott, that the most significant thing I got today was that he was killed by the religious leaders, or by their accusations, not the Jews in general? And that really struck me right there. You know, I think it was last Sunday I was preaching on Abel. Remember that? Cain was very religious. His way. Cain wanted to worship God his way. If the apocryphal literature is correct, and if the comments in the Talmud is correct, he argued with God, and God wasn't fair. He believed in God, and he wanted to worship God his way, the product of his works. So it was a religious legalist or a religious person who was substituting his works, proud of his works, that killed Abel. Don't let self-righteous religious people ever get a hold on you. I've been setting you free for 29 years. I teach, you take it and do what you want with it. If you want to do something with it here, then get in line and follow the pastor as he follows God. Thank God for your dinning in of the truth, and thank God I've listened over and over again knowing I'll get something new out of your message. I look forward to the future in faith, and I'll be praying for you. Wagner, Oklahoma. I've been listening since 1985. The teaching gets better and better every year. Sherman Oaks, California. Dr. Scott, I enjoy watching the program and the horses. I'm really impressed in your riding ability. The horses have been a great entertainment over the years to the network. And that bear is eating my avocados on the ranch without permission. And he doesn't pay for what he eats. He's a non-tithing bear. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for the teaching on the resurrection. San Bernardino, I grew up in this ministry, and on Easter Sunday when I was 7, I was homesick and was able to hear the message. 7. I knew it was correct message when I turned 12. No, I knew it was a correct message, period. When I turned 12, I was honored to be able to attend the cathedral. You know, I hope it's sinking in to people. The reason I'm so crotchety and cranky, I've been around here for 29 years. I've done more live TV than anybody on earth, including the daddy of TV and a fat Johnny Carson a long time ago. Everybody in TV knew I was right when I was fighting. FCC didn't have any reason to deal with me. I just talked back to them, and they thought they were God. And the Times eventually said there wasn't any issue. They tried. I waived my freedom of information. They didn't have any issue. It was just a bureaucratic group of men who didn't like not being saluted and bowed to like Haman, didn't like Mordecai not bowing to him, and stubborn's God who wouldn't bow to him. That's what the issue was. And then when we went off Channel 30, everybody wrote my epitaphs, God's last hour on TV, and when they thought I was dead, they thought I was wonderful. And I'm still here. And all those FCC guys have either died or retired. Retired on my tax dollars. That makes me mad, too. Now, I can't even scratch my forehead with the wrong finger now. That used to be a wonderful way of getting my points across. This, you know, there's certain people I'd give them. I think this one they don't understand yet. That's a whole week's supply of what Christians can't really deliver to you. You know, some people, you've got to draw them pictures. But you ought to be able to get in the message here that people have grown up. The solid core of this church has been here long enough to watch and decide this is where I belong. For the teaching. I don't counsel. Take your problem to God. Don't come and cry on my shoulder. Take VF-166, Peter's descent into failure and the way he came back. Take Psalm 84. Take the nitro pills. You and God solve your problems. Well, I need a pastor to have access to. Well, 24 hours a day, I'm getting your messages. I got to admit, they weren't screened as well as they are now that my wife's making sure I get them. And I can tell you, Deborah Heller is doing better every day. But keep praying. I grew up in this ministry, and on Easter Sunday, when I was 7, I was homesick and was able to hear the message. I knew it was a correct message. When I turned 12, I was honored to be able to attend the cathedral. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for being my pastoring teacher. Palmdale, pastored back when I was a teenager. I gave serious consideration to going to seminary, as the church I grew up with was more interested in some time, some place, than any real teaching. Now that I've spent half my life under your teaching, sir, I'm so glad I waited. I'm following you as you follow Christ until Jesus comes. Apple Valley, Doc, we started listening to you almost 21 years ago. Just after Satan thought he had won the victory on Channel 30. And what we have given can't begin to pay the debt of what we owe from the first time we heard you. We're grateful to help take his voice to the world. That's the kind of people that are the core here. I want as many as they can, voices of faith, that you come, workers who come in this building, at least once a day. Go in there, not only horizontal communication, you can join hands with someone and say, let's, two of us agree. God will keep our pastor, our pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Scott, in good health and guide them. And we are still going to keep fulfilling the fountain of faith, covering the world with his word. You got 16 minutes to make reservations for this Sunday at the cathedral. Get on the phone. Bennett, Dr. Scott, just scratch your head with those same five fingers on one side and two on the other. You know, we've been looking at the fountain of faith, and I'm sure that many of you have wished that you had been around and had participated in the Fountain of Faith. Well, I want to tell all of you that have participated in Secret 16 last year and are continuing to participate in Secret 16 this year, not only every second that goes out of this rebeautified studio and the equipment, the unglamorous things. As I said, we don't raise money for any project. But all the things that have done to give this ministry new foundation, like the rebuilding of the temple, you're part of everything that happens. And you who didn't participate in the fountain, every time, and we are calling it Hilasterion, because featured is the resurrected Christ, who is our Hilasterion. That prayer chapel, every second of prayer, every person that comes here to work, sometimes coming to be a voice of faith, so burdened down with a problem of your own, you can hardly sit there and be, and you don't have to counsel or take messages, and you're not praying for people. I mean, you don't have to take questions that you have to answer or pray for people. You're just answering service. You're saying Dr. Scott's lines, and you get the message to me. And someone who calls is going to be like the one who said, I said earlier, and quoted the message, oh, I was startled. I thought I'd get an answering machine. Everything that's done, every person who participated in Secret 16, you're part of everything you see. You didn't know it because it was a secret. You gave your money because you wanted to testify to the worth of the teaching, and you trusted your pastor. Every time you go in that chapel, you're part of it. I want to tell you about that stained glass window. My wife designed it. She holds the copyright on it, so no one else can ever have that window. And the company who made it requested permission to feature it in its catalog or whatever they do to show where they have produced the windows. But she designed the picture and holds the copyright. That's ours. You'll never see that window in some other church somewhere. That's ours. Period. Period. Yeah. I'm telling you, God keeps books differently than we keep books. And I repeat, the pots in the house of the Lord are the same as the bowls before the altar. There's only one teacher here right now. You're helping me get it done. There's one administrative pastor, she's breaking her back, and she needs help. And there will be a 300 elite volunteer band that joined with me in claiming the promise, by the 300 will I save. Judges, 7th book, 7th chapter, 7th verse. Make it happen, folks. Right now, I'm concentrating. I want the reservations tonight to match the reservations last Sunday night. We've got a few to go, so get on the telephone.